This is Janet Schanzenbach. You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The contents of this program are intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Today we will be discussing disaster relief and preparedness. Our guests are Curtis Hill, disaster relief advocate with Disability Rights North Carolina, and Iris People Green, senior attorney with Disability Rights North Carolina. Welcome to our program.
Glad to be here.
Could you tell us what Disability Rights North Carolina is?
Yes. Disability Rights North Carolina is a protection and advocacy agency in North Carolina. We are charged with by Congress with advocating for the legal rights of people with disabilities statewide. We are a private nonprofit organization. Disability Rights North Carolina's mandate includes federal authority to have access and monitor facilities where people with disabilities receive services to ensure that their rights are protected and that people are free from abuse, discrimination, and neglect. The scope of our access authority includes evacuation and disaster shelters that open because of disasters.
Could you tell us what Disability Rights North Carolina actually does?
Yes, Disability Rights North Carolina's mission is to advance and defend the rights of people with disabilities. We work to achieve a just society where people with disabilities are free from discrimination as well as from abuse. Our goal is to incorporate a fully integrated and accessible community for all people with disabilities, where people with disabilities have the power to have equal access, power, and freedom to make their own decisions. We believe that people with disabilities have the right to be heard and a right to live in the world. We increase the power of people with disabilities through our advocacy and the relentless pursuit of justice. Disability Rights North Carolina values integrity, creative strategies, and collaboration in the work that we do. We support human dignity, diversity, and civil rights, and we fight for full inclusion and self-determination.
Wow, that's a lot. Can you tell us a bit about what the Disaster Relief Project is and its goals?
Yes, the Disaster Relief Project, it was born out of our work when we actually monitored shelters during Hurricane Florence. On September 16th of 2018, Disability Rights North Carolina visited 26 shelters in 47 days, communicating directly with more than 300 displaced individuals and over 150 shelter staff and other service providers. We actually visited shelters in over 14 counties, and those counties included Brunswick, Carteret, Craven, Cumberland, Forsyth, Harnett, Jones, New Hanover, Onslow, Orange, Pender, Robinson, Wake, and Wayne counties. And the conditions that Disability Rights North Carolina staff witnessed during our monitoring of the shelters during Hurricane Florence are outlined in a public report which is entitled The Storm After the Storm. And this report can be accessed if you visit our website at www.disabilityrightsnc.org. And as a result of the Storm After the Storm report, we received funding from a grantor out of California, and it was called Operation USA, and for the Center for Disaster Philanthropy, also known as CDP, to continue to do the work that we are doing. We recognize that complying with mandatory evacuation amid thousands of people fleeing their homes is difficult for everyone. However, we found that fleeing was much more difficult for people with disabilities, and past disaster experiences have shown that persons with disabilities are more likely to be left behind, they are turned away from shelters, or they are abandoned during disaster evacuations due to the lack of preparation and planning. And we also noticed that people were turned away because of inaccessible facilities and services and transportation systems. And providing legal assistance to address legal concerns, identifying resources to assist communities with post-disaster recovery can be difficult, but being able to identify and access these programs is crucial to successful planning and for recovery. And Disability Rights North Carolina Disaster Relief Project can be summarized with three main objectives. First, we are seeking to provide civil legal aid, information, and referrals to help people identify resources to remove barriers, to help them and people with disabilities recover before, during, and after a federally declared disaster. Second, the new project's focus is to keep people with disabilities and their issues at the forefront as North Carolina continues to prepare for future disasters during planning sessions and at the state and local levels. And third, we also want to ensure the equitable distribution of disaster funding, making sure that that funding gets to vulnerable communities. And this current project is focused in eastern North Carolina.
Well, that's wonderful. What has been the approach of the state in disaster recovery and resilience in North Carolina?
Important strides have been made since the last disaster, which was Hurricane Matthew. During Hurricane Florence, I was able to witness that systems that work better together this time, they work better together to provide and protect the rights and safety and well-being of people with disabilities in other emergency shelters. The biggest thing that came out that we saw this time during Hurricane Florence was the introduction of the Disability Integration Specialist to disaster response provided much-needed support for people with disabilities during Hurricane Florence. The North Carolina Department of Emergency Management has a permanent disability integration person on staff, and the Red Cross dispatched regional disability integration specialists to shelters during the disaster as well. And Disability Rights North Carolina staff found that the disability integration staff measurably improved outcomes for people with disabilities. Thanks to their training, they had the sensitivity, and they had the ability to provide needed resources that people needed during sheltering time. And this program is a program that deserves expansion and greater investment. There was also the creation of the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency. They work alongside the North Carolina Emergency Management on recovery and rebuilding from past and future disasters. And this office actually will administer the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development funded community development block grants for disaster recovery. And so they will provide oversight for this CDBG funding. However, still much work is needed to complete. All people have an equal opportunity at surviving a disaster. Shelter staff need more training to properly fulfill their roles of providing aid and assistance during the disaster. Training should cover issues such as required accommodations for people with disabilities under the ADA and how to help people work with people who have experienced trauma. Furthermore, federal, state, and local officials must take care of shelter staff by making sure that there are new workers available to relieve those who are overwhelmed, exhausted, or suffering from compassion fatigue.
Could you provide us with some practical advice for North Carolinians? How should people with disabilities prepare for a disaster, like a hurricane or a flood?
Yes, I would greatly. My name is Curtis Hilton. I'm the disaster relief person on the ground advocate. So, and one of the things, there's nothing really different for dealing with someone with a disability as opposed with anybody else. But we have to take, and one of the most important things that you do is you must have an action plan. And you need to develop your action plan to deal with a flood or hurricane before that happens. And so you want to make sure that you have your family and your friends and everybody that's going to be around you to know what your plan is. And you want to have that plan in mind, in a frame of mind, that you're able to operationalize it when it's time to come. And so you also want to also contact your local emergency management office, because that is a place where they're able to keep in contact with you to see exactly what your plan is and those kind of things. And this key that you understand is they will not operationalize your plan. You have to be the one to operationalize your plan. So the same things that a person that doesn't have a disability has to do are the same things that you have to have in place. So, and as we're thinking about us living in North Carolina, one of the most important things that we make sure that we have is insurance. That's key. You need to have flood insurance. You need to have wind and hail insurance. Even though they do sell plans that do not have wind and hail, but the likelihood of your house burning, or, you know, where you live in eastern North Carolina, the more likely it will be that it would actually flood or have wind and hail damage. So that's why it's important that you understand that you need those things in place, because FEMA and these organizations are just trying to get you back whole, not getting you back whole again. They're just trying to get you able to make other arrangements at another time. So this is the goal of the situation. So what we're trying to do is to make sure that people with disabilities understand in a language that they're able to understand about what is needed, what they need to do on a daily basis, because we, none of us know when a disaster is going to happen. That's why we have to be ready every day for a disaster to happen. So sometimes, you know, I think, well, what is my evacuation plan? How am I going to get to point A to point B? Who's going to take me? If they say a mandatory evacuation of my area, what friend or family member am I able to call that's going to make sure that I get where I need to be? Right. And then also make sure that you have also your medicines that you need and any other assistive devices that you might need to make your stay away from home beneficial.
Could you tell us how the preparation and recovery process and experience is different for people with disabilities from those that are people without disabilities?
I would like to say that they're pretty much the same. But they just have a little more nuance. As we understand, you have a compounding of issues that are already there, because most people with disabilities don't have extra money, finances, and those kind of things. So what we have to think about is the long-term planning. See, a person with disability might can't afford to buy everything they need at one time, but they might can buy for their survival emergency kit, they can buy one item a month. So, you know, you have to think about it practically about what you can do instead of trying to be overwhelmed saying, I've got to get all of this at one time. You want to do it incrementally because that can fit within your budget. So we realize that the stresses and things because of disability, you can still have, and then you're needing to have the ability to navigate the complexity of the issue, because sometimes, as I was telling before I started this job, I was being interviewed somewhere that I was talking about, you need to have a doctorate degree in order to understand the FEMA processes and all those kind of things. So if people don't have that skill set of understanding it, they're pretty much left behind. So it takes a little extra encouragement. It takes people walking with them because they're not really understanding or not being able to understand the terminology that FEMA's using and those kind of things. And a lot of times with these situations is with FEMA and these programs, especially with the insurance things, they do this thing about trying to prevent fraud. So you're going to get they will send you a letter of denial. And so telling somebody that, you know, they can see the flood in their house and those kind of things, don't get discouraged because they sent you a rejection letter. The process is for you to actually go and fill out the form for the appeal and make sure you have your documentations and all those types of things there. And you want to you also want to have pre and post pictures of your facility. And you also want to have a picture of, like, on your when you know it comes across the TV and it says we're in a mandatory disaster, you want to date stamp that in a picture so you can have that for your records to know that I'm actually in one of those areas, because that would also help you as further along your process that you can mandate that you were actually in a disaster, and that will help your process going on. And we also want, before the storm, we want us to already be gathering our most important documents, because that's important. You need to have your Social Security card, all your medicines and all those types of things that you need. You need your identification copies, your passport, driver's license, Social Security card, birth certificates, green card, or other forms of identification. You need your medical, your copies. These could include allergies, immunizations, medical conditions, etc. You need a personal assessment. If you or anyone in your household has a disability, make a list of the personal needs and resources you or they would need in a disaster or evacuation. Then you need to have your insurance papers. You need to have a copy of the declaration letter of your insurance so you can understand what your insurance is paying for and what it won't pay for. And that's key in what you're dealing with. You need to also have copies of your health insurance too, and your your car insurance because it might be flooded or something. So you need to make sure that you're covered on that and realizing that your homeowner's insurance is not flood insurance. I'll repeat that. Homeowner's insurance is not flood insurance. And so that's a separate policy that an individual has to get to handle their situation. Okay? Then you also need to have copies of your bank information. That means your bank account numbers, your savings and your retirement accounts, and your account numbers. You want to have that somewhere that you're able to get easily accessible. And then you also want to have some extra money around. Because sometimes when disasters happen, the banks don't open because they can't get, the current is out and those kind of things. So you want to make sure you have at least some cash available to you. And then you also want to have assistant animals or pet records, because if you're going into a shelter and you've got a service animal, they might need to see those shot records and things like that to make sure that you can come. So you want to make sure you have all that kind of stuff together. And then you want to have personal documents. You want to have copies of your family valuables, like marriage certificates, treasured photos, family history records, or other important family keepsakes. And you want to have a copy of those on a CD or a thumb drive. Because, we do everything electronically now, and it's easier to access. Okay? And then you also want to have important numbers, a list of important people you need to contact in case of emergency. You want to have that easily available to you. The phone numbers for the city or county government emergency, so your 911 numbers and those kind of things with the Department of DSS or social services and those kind of things. You want to have those numbers handy available, and you want to know who your caseworkers are and those kind of things. So you want to make sure you have all that information, because it's important as you're trying to go through this process.
That's great advice. Can you tell us what is the current way, we have of communicating disasters enough, especially for people with disabilities?
The answer to that is no. And it really means that we've got to think strategically as a state government and everybody as nonprofits and all those about how are we going to be able to reach people where they are with the information so they can be empowered to make decisions. Because as we realize, the Category 5 storms that we run through, that's not adequate enough to really deal with the real issues that people are dealing on the ground. Because that is just only talking about the wind damage that someone might face. It doesn't talk about the tributaries and all those kind of things and the environmental pieces and the flooding that happens all throughout. See, a lot of the problems is not just wind and hail problems. It's the water that comes from the strength of the storms. Because if you realize that Florence was a Category 1 storm when it hit, so the storm surge and all that kind of thing, that had a direct impact on people's lives. And that's something that you can't just figure out based upon whether you might say, well, I rolled out one hurricane, it was a Hurricane 1. So the next one is not going to be, they're saying it might be big, but it's not. But so you can't never really say, well, I'm going to be able to ride this one out and the next one, because you never know what impact it's going to have on transportation and all those kind of things. One of the saddest things I was able to see, I actually live in Eastern North Carolina. And so I'm able to see, I was on the ground and saw when they had people helicoptered in and those kind of things from other parts in Pender County and those kind of things to my county. And so to see people lose everything they had, and they would, and they had to be a Black Hawk helicopter. So it lets us know the urgency of making a plan and having a plan. Because you didn't flood in the last storm doesn't mean you won't flood in this one. And because of what they're saying doesn't mean it won't happen to you. Because it's other factors that can affect the ability to flood that is out of your control. And so we have to realize that some things we can't control. But if we make a plan, we can be successful. And we have to operationalize our plan.
Great. What are some useful resources available to assist before, during, and after a disaster?
Some of the most useful things is, as we think about it, we're an interesting kind of state. And it's not really people think about it as being a really broad state. But one of the most important things is in our state, we have this thing about each county and each individual municipality is its own place. And so where your most resources are at your county level and in your city, in your town, they have resources to help you recover. And that's also with your emergency management office in each county. They have plans in place and how those things are going to work. So you want to make sure you're engaging with them because they're the front lines of who you're going to see. It's going to take the state government a time to get there or for even FEMA to get there. But it's your local folks. It's your folks at your churches and all those kind of things. You want to be in a network of people that understand what you're doing. And so you want to tie with your church or your synagogue or your mosque, whatever you're doing, you want to tie into the community so you can make sure that you'll be successful at the local level. Then at the state level, we have emergency management, Office of Resiliency and Recovery. We have the Red Cross and all those type of organizations that they do their thing. And at the federal level, you have FEMA. And then, see, people don't even realize that. You even have HUD that's actually doing and the CBGR grants and those kind of pieces. Those are HUD programs that they have parts of those things. So you have an array of different resources that are coming in. But the most important resource is what happens at your local community. And you want to be engaged there so you can understand where you're moving in the future.
What do you do if you have a service animal, emotional support animal, and pets?
Under the Pets Act, passed in 2006, shortly after Hurricane Katrina, any shelters that receive federal funding must provide plans to accommodate household pets and service animals before, during, and following a major disaster emergency. The Pet Act amends the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act to ensure that state and local emergency preparedness operational plans address the needs of individuals, household pets, and service animals following a major disaster or emergency. And the PET Act actually authorizes FEMA to provide rescue, care, shelter, and essential needs for individuals with household pets and service animals, and to the household pets and animals themselves following a major disaster or emergency. And under North Carolina law and the Federal Americans with Disability Act, which is also known as the ADA, people with disabilities may bring their service animals to all public accommodations, which includes shelters if open to the public. And these laws also require those who operate transportation services to allow service animals. And public accommodation in North Carolina must comply with both state and federal law, and their patrons are entitled to rely on whatever law provides the most protections.
Okay. Why is civil legal aid important during this time?
Now, many of the problems that people experience before, during, and after disaster require civil legal aid to help solve, and people with disabilities experience most of the same problems plus additional challenges related to their disability. And access to legal help is vital as they try to prepare, put their lives back together after a hurricane or other disaster. And like preventive health care, when civil legal help is available, it can also help prevent problems from escalating.
Can you tell me what is the most dire issue in North Carolina that we need to address as we move forward?
The direst issue that North Carolinians face this day is the scarcity of affordable housing. And this existed before made landfall during Hurricane Matthew, but recovery efforts to date have not addressed the loss of the lack of affordable housing. And given rising sea levels and climate change, North Carolina can reasonably anticipate future devastating storms. And the time is now to plan to develop safe, affordable, accessible housing that can withstand natural disasters. Now, North Carolina, they made a great investment in the Back at Home program, and this was an initiative that was created by Governor Cooper. It was $12 million that was given to make sure that people have access to safe housing after the disaster. And we believe that this program needs to be continued, it needs to be strengthened, and it needs to be expanded to be able to assist with the housing issue that we have. The second issue that we think is very important that is dire in North Carolina is incorporating the principles of equal access and universal design in all aspects as we continue to build back our housing in North Carolina. And the third issue that we believe is trying to exercise prudent stewardship and equitable distribution of the community development block grant funding that actually comes into the state.
How can people get in touch with you if they need assistance?
Okay, Disability Rights North Carolina. We are located in Raleigh, North Carolina. Our physical address is 3724 National Drive. We're located in Suite 100. Our website, you can find us on our website at www.disabilityrightsnc.org. We're also active on social media. Our Twitter address is at Disability Rights, RTSNC. And on Facebook, we are located at Disability Rights NC as well. And you may contact our office. My office number is 919-856-2195. And Curtis, who is the disaster relief advocate, he can be located at 984-297-1533.
Can you tell us about some of your latest initiatives at Disability Rights North Carolina?
Yes, I can. One of our latest initiatives is we're doing a targeted survey, and this is important because as a protection and advocacy organization, we're required to have input about the work that we're doing in our office, to have input from people on the ground to make sure that their voices are being heard. So as part of that, we have a survey that you can locate on our website, Disability Rights NC, and it talks about the different targets that Disability Rights North Carolina is doing throughout North Carolina. And so we have some special things about this, specifically about disaster. And this is something, a new project for the office. And so we're just trying to make sure that everybody understands the importance of the work we're doing and that you can review those targets and to also vote for disability, for the disaster relief piece and the housing piece, because we realize that that's the most important thing that our members of our communities are experiencing in North Carolina. Affordable housing is such a critical piece. And so we're just asking you all to just take time. And it's not a long survey. It's a few minutes that it takes of your day. And you can send it to your networks of people. We're just trying to hear from as many different voices as we can about the issues that are facing them. Yes, you can contact us on our website at www.disabilityrightsnc.org. That is the location in which we are able to you're able to fill out the survey. It's a link, a hyperlink right on the front of the page. So it doesn't take long and it's very accessible and those kind of things. So you should have no problems filling it out.
You've been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any questions or comments, please call NCRS at 919-832-5138. This is Janet, and I'd like to say thank you and see you until next time.